Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today and for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for this time we can be together. May it be a time when we can be encouraged, challenged, and may we seek to honor you continually better every day as we strive to be in your word, be in fellowship, be in prayer, and do those things which you've commanded to us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning, it is time for at least the semi-annual annual spiritual self-examination. If you remember, we did this a couple of while. We did this in December of 2018, I believe. And it's a helpful thing to get to once in a while, and I like to do this usually at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, because like anything else, taking a good hard look at yourself is important to do at least once in a while. I generally don't like going to the doctor, but it's helpful to go at least once a year to see if I'm doing at least okay, not too much worse than last year, or maybe better. It's helpful. Sometimes the what you realize is not good or is not great, but it's better to know than to not know. Sometimes I have this tendency to say, well, maybe after I do such and such a thing, I'll put my doctor appointment off until I've been maybe, you know, doing better running or walking or doing some weightlifting or whatever it might be, you know, because maybe that'll make everything look better. Well, the couple weeks wouldn't maybe do that much of a difference. It's better just to go in and find out where you're at and make changes you need to make anyway. Don't put it off because you need to know what you need to know. And oftentimes you can be surprised, good or bad, but again, knowing is better than not knowing. Living in a false sense of reality that you're in your denial is not helpful to you or to anyone else. That's true physically. It's also true, I think, spiritually. And so really, I've modified this examination from one that a friend of mine put together years and years ago. We used to do in Sunday school with the college and career group I led at my old church and things of that nature. And it's helpful. And I want to look at some of these briefly this morning, but really it's a take-home assignment. It's going to be in the bulletins. Obviously, I'm going to tell the rest of the church for the main service about it as well. But it's a take-home assignment because I don't expect you to be able to have as thorough of a time of reflection as you could have while we're talking. Now, you might be able to, but it might be good to review and to look back and to do some more thinking about it this week. But the idea here is to open your eyes or to help to focus on areas both of where you need to improve, but also in seeing improvements. We can become at times either overly pessimistic or overly not optimistic, but just kind of in denial of reality. And so a helpful look at an examination of where you're at, thinking and praying, can both be encouraging and or convicting. Because this is a subjective process, because there is no point grading scale in the back of your Bible to see where you should be when you are X number of years old and been a Christian for X number of years. The whole premise is that as a Christian, you ought to be growing to be more like Christ regularly. There should be an upward trend. Now, what that might look like, what your angle is, how many dips and valleys you have and peaks you have throughout your walk is going to vary from person to person. But the general trend ought to be upward and forward. And so this is a tool, and that's all it is a tool that we can use in that investigation. And so just because I like to hopefully have everything anchored in and from and coming from Scripture, one of the verses that always comes to my mind is in Romans chapter 8, that God's plan, His purpose in all things, He's working all things for our good, and that is that we might be conformed into the image of Christ. Or that, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, that God's will is this, your sanctification. Now, He's got a specific application there, but the idea is that we are not merely, it is not God's desire nor His plan that we trust in Christ and then stay stagnant, if that's even possible, which I don't think it is, stay stagnant for the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about how abiding with Him then produces fruit. That there is life because you're with Christ, and if you're with Christ, you're abiding with Him, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be this continual evidence, increasing manifestation of the working of God in your life. And so, again, with this, again, very subjective in some ways, but using biblical categories and ideas here, examination as to how you're doing. And this is self-examination because, again, I don't have the insight into your own walk with Christ that you do or that someone close to you does, a spouse, a best friend, another close brother or sister in the Lord might be able to help you in this. And I encourage you to consider asking some of these questions to that person. Mom, dad, how do you think I'm doing in these areas? Spouse, friend, how do you think that I'm doing in these areas? If you have a close connection with someone that can help you, that can be beneficial, although their answers may surprise you. They may see successes where you see failures, and failures where you see successes. But it's helpful. So what I want to do is just walk through a couple of these, and I have some resources that I at least want to talk about at the end, and even have a couple of copies you can look through yourself, and if you want, you can take them, or I can get more of them, dealing with some of these areas. So the purpose, again, of this is just to get a kind of lay of the land, a state of the, not state of the union, not even state of salvation, but state of your soul. The purpose of this physical is to take an examination. And there are several areas. I got it broken down here on your little handouts there in various areas. First of all is your relationship with God, which includes communication with God, which would be prayer, and the Word, sharing the gospel, scripture memory, and leadership. Now again, it's important to emphasize communication with the Lord. It happens in two ways. We hear Him and we speak to Him. We hear Him in His Word and we speak to Him in prayer. And so these are two vitally important areas of the Christian life. J.C. Ryle, in his book, I didn't write down the book that I was reading. It'll come to me. In one of his books, remarked about how he thought that prayer was even a more important practice for the Christian. And I think that the reason why he would say that is because it is so much less concrete. If you can't commit yourself to a time of prayer, a thoughtful time of prayer, you're going to be an ineffectual believer. You have a book you can read. You can mark your progress. You can trace how well you have done or not done by reading through a book. But how do you track? How do you really, monitor even your own fervent time of prayer? It's important to put that in perspective. So, let's just begin here, just looking at a few of these. We're not going to get through all of them, and that's by design, because this is meant to be more of a take-home thing for the youth, for the adults, for everybody. So, don't lose this handout this morning, and I hope you don't lose them anyway, but don't lose this one particularly, because you can use it this week. But your relationship with the Lord when it comes to specifically time in His Word. Psalm 1, verse 2. Begin at the beginning here, though. Verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. This is a picture of what it looks like, or just an idea of what it is to be one who is in the Word. And the word there, at least translated in the English here in the New American Standard, is this is a delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's a good question you can ask. Do I delight in the law of the Lord? Do I delight in the Scriptures? Do I delight in the Scriptures so as to meditate in them? Do I find the Scriptures to be a delight, a joy? Now, at times, I think everyone would confess to times and seasons where reading the Scriptures is just a difficult task. Being joyful at life might be a difficult task. Enjoying the children that God has given you, the spouse that God has given you, the job that the Lord has for you might be difficult at times. All things that we do and are called to do and do well are not always going to be easy or have the same amount of apparent and graspable joy and delight. But as a picture, as a general question that you can ask to help answer this little investigative question here, do you delight in the law of the Lord? Do you have a delight there? And therefore, does that translate into a time in the Word? You could even have a couple different ways to answer this. Do I spend time in the Word? And when I do so, is it just because I have been trained and beaten in, you know, into my head that I need to have 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever the time is each day, and I just do it because that's my religious activity that I do? Or is it because I am striving to know, understand, and worship better, love better, the God who's given me the Scriptures? Do I delight in the law of the Lord? And do I spend time? The question here is more related to time in the Word. Do I spend time in the Word? He says, I meditate on it day and night, or as in Psalm 119, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Psalm 119, those verses 33 to 40, you can use as a prayer to help you strive to achieve that which you want. If you want to have a better time in the Word that you don't have, or if you want to have a time in the Word because yours is non-existent, you can pray this psalm requesting the Lord that He help you, because He desires to have you be conformed to the image of Christ. This is a prayer that I believe God will most certainly answer. If you pray fervently that for the Lord to give you a desire, a delight in His Word, He will answer that prayer. Now, the way in which He brings that about may be difficult to go through, like lessons sometimes are. But He will help you in that way. So the question is, do you spend time in the Word? And kind of a sub-question is, do you delight in it? And on, as you look at these, as you look at your paper there, there's the scale on there, the 1 to 10. And again, it's a subjective thing, like that pain chart in the doctor's office, right? I mean, what face am I making now? Do I have to match it with the face on the pain chart, whatever it is? I don't know. Plus, I'm a wimp, so mine's always worse. But you just, one is all essentially non-existent. 10 is the best you could ever imagine. And then circle where you think you might be. And then maybe even with an arrow to which direction you have been going in the past few months. You may be at a 6, but man, you've been dropping like, you know, it's been dropping low because things have been getting in the way. Or you may be at a 4, but it's been going up really good because you've been striving to be diligent and faithful. Or in the time that you've had success and been encouraged by what you've been learning in the Word. So you're, again, this is a tool to help to see where you're at so you can fix the problem. If you don't know that you're a diabetic, you don't know how to deal with your sugar levels. If you don't know that you have whatever issues with your heart or with your lungs, you don't know how to deal with them. This is a way to investigate to see that you have a problem or where you're succeeding. Secondly, there, the time in prayer. Jesus during his earthly ministry, during his time here prior to the cross, he was known as a man of prayer. And this, I say often, but it ought to be one of those things that really we take hold of. If Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God of God, very God of very God, was a man of prayer, fervent prayer, where he sought to be alone, away from people. He'd rise early to be alone with the Lord. How much more ought we to be, or are we in need of, being people of prayer? And I firmly believe that we ought to be those who pray at all times without ceasing. We ought to be those who don't just have only a set time of prayer and never else do you think about the Lord. But the idea is there ought to be this time, or ought we to, I think we ought to strive for this life that is characterized by prayer to the Lord. Remember the story of Daniel? One of the many times that they tried to get Daniel in trouble, what was the way in which his political opponents sought to entrap him? Noah? And why would that trap Daniel? To make it illegal to pray to any god but the king? Pray to God 3 times a day. Now, that doesn't mean that there's the magic number of 3 times a day or that you need to do it from with your window open toward Jerusalem or anything of that nature. Jesus himself says, go into secret, close a door. You don't have to do it publicly. But this ought to be something that is a significant part of your daily routine. It is important to have good habits of prayer. To pray before meals, to pray before bed, to pray at those times, especially when teaching children the value and the focus of our lives upon the Lord. But it ought not to be simply in those times of rote observation, although it doesn't have to be just a mere, religious activity that is unfeeling or unthoughtful. The question you might ask is, when was the last time that I had a specific time of dedicated prayer where I just call out to the Lord? Not even necessarily for my back pain or for the financial concern that I had or whatever it might be, but just because I was wanting to pour my heart out to the Lord. When was was the last time I just had a dedicated time of that, specifically for that? The next question might be is, when was the last time that was habitual? What does that mean, Pastor? Does it mean every day? Does it mean every other day? Does it mean a couple times a week? I don't know. What does it mean? Daniel was three times a day. Jesus was regularly every day. I don't know what the pattern ought to be. But it ought to be a regular habit. Because we know that as the God that we serve is a God who desires to answer our prayers and hear our prayers and give us good things. We're not going to an abusive father. We're not going to an absentee landlord or an unrighteous judge or a neighbor who's sleeping. We're not going to any of those people. We're going to a Father who gives good gifts, who desires that we pray at all times and don't lose heart. So, do I have time in prayer? Do I have a fervency? Well, not for that. That's well. Do I have a time in prayer? And what is my prayer life like? And again, I say during church almost every week, but we have the benefit of the prayer requests in our bulletin. A great tool. And if not, you also have likely a directory. You can pray for the church. It's a great tool to pray for those around you. You don't, because we don't know everyone's struggles or their joys. We can still pray for them, and it's not a bad idea to have a plan, have a structure in mind. So, do I have time in prayer? What is that like, and how am I doing in that? You'll notice underneath each of the questions, there's the general repeated question is, what sin or habits hinder me in this area? Now, the sins ought to be those things that we identify and we strive to kill because they are sinful. We're not free in Christ to living as faithful Christians to sin. Is that, you know, the difference? We have Christian freedom to do or to not do different things that aren't sinful. But what sins do I do that are hindering my time in the Word? Am I indulging in wicked entertainment? Am I a slave to covetousness that is making me work more than I need to? That is taking all of my time and my energy and my thoughts, that is stealing it away from time I could be spending with the Lord in prayer and in the Word. I'm not saying don't work. But am I a slave to sinful appetites? That then I push my time and my thought and my energy there. But also could be those things that aren't sinful. Could just be otherwise things that are fine and well in their own right. Relaxing, enjoying the fruit of your labor. Those are good things. Those freedoms that we might have in Christ that we can do, are even those freedoms, those non-necessarily sinful things, are they hampering my ability, my activity of time in the Word, time in prayer? Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I think we can be slowed down in our faithful walk with Christ, both by sins and by those things that otherwise slow us down, that are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves. So, what sins or habits hinder me? It's a good question to ask, a difficult question to ask, because it exposes exactly maybe what you already know is there. And like a good tip to the doctor, you can't deny it. Well, you still can, but somebody else is telling you what you already know. Sharing of the gospel, scripture memory, servant leadership, all similar thing. Well, not similar, but all thinking in same kinds of ways. Do I share the gospel? Is the proclamation of the gospel to saving sinners, is that something that is a part of my life and my desire? Well, Pastor, that's just not my gift. I didn't say, are you a street preacher who stands out on a street corner every day and proclaims the gospel to college students or other specific, whatever specific, you know, environment you're thinking, but do you have not just a desire to share the gospel, but are you sharing the gospel? Do you strive to make it a part of your interactions with people who are unbelievers? To bring in the gospel to your conversation, but they just might not want to hear that, and that might cause some difficult times at the water cooler or at the family get together. It might. You don't have to be foolish about it and do it in ways that are going to be needlessly offensive, but my goodness, do you want the person that you are interacting with, and maybe have a relationship with, coworker, friend, family member, whatever it might be, to know Christ? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I wrote in a previous letter not to associate with immoral people. And he says, I didn't mean like immoral people of the world. I mean, you're going to have to hang out with sinners because they're sinners. If you're going to evangelize people who don't know Christ, they're going to be sinners. He says, I'm saying don't hang out with a so-called Christian who's an unrepentant, you know, sinner in these areas. Don't do that. But you're going to hang out with people who aren't Christians. When you do, they need to know the gospel. And it might, the way you share the gospel, the way in which you try to bring it in is going to look different for every person as far as the form and the trappings, how you present it. But the substance ought to be the same. How often, sharing the gospel is one of those things that I think often gets put on the back burner because, well, here's the other question. How quick are you to talk to someone about politics and your political opinions compared to about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't answer that out loud, but how much quicker are you to talk about those things with people of another political persuasion who might not be Christians, who aren't Christians, let's just say, because they're people who aren't Christians who agree with you politically, I'm sure, and those who are not Christians who disagree with you and agree with you. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be on the same page all the place, but you're going to have non-Christians who both agree and disagree with you politically. How likely are you to talk about politics more with them than about Christ? Maybe use that as a good parameter. If you never talk politics or evangelism, well then, I mean, you need to talk evangelism. But the point is, if you talk politics but not evangelism, why? Not that you can't ever talk politics. But maybe use that as a good barometer to help maybe answer this question. Do you memorize the scriptures? Pastor, I don't memorize anything. Well, do you remember TV shows you watch, program books you read? Are you invested so you can remember anything you care that you think about throughout the day, the week, the month? Granted, it's harder as you get older, but do you strive to memorize? And do you have any kind of servant leadership or service? These are, again, this is just the first of, what do I have, five areas here. So the point in this thing is to take this resource. Again, there's nothing necessarily world-shatteringly awesome about this resource, but it's just a tool help to get you to think through these areas of relationship with your family, relationship with the local church, with the world and obedience finally to his word? Am I doing that which I know to be true? That's one of those things, and that comes out in evangelism. It comes out in time in prayer and in reading the word. Am I doing that which I know to be true, to be good? It is vitally important to know what the Bible says. But to know what it says and not obeying it is foolishness. But so often we do that. So, whether you're in middle school, high school, or you were out of high school long, long ago, I encourage you to bring this home yourself and do it yourself. There's not enough copies. I can make more copies. Because only you are going to ultimately have to answer for the way in which you lived and were faithful with your life. You won't answer for your children. Your parents won't answer for you. Your husband or your wife will not be able to either help or hurt you when it comes to giving an account for the way in which you were faithful or not to the Lord in this life. So, with that, I'll just, I'm going to transition to the next thing I wanted to do this morning. But just, I would encourage you to use that. And don't do like we often, so maybe some of us often do when we go to, we get medical advice or whatever. It's in one ear, out the other. Or it's, I've heard this all my life and I'm just not going to change. Or even have the first of the year kind of exuberance of you join every health club in the tri-state area and you never go to one or whatever it might be. You have that 3 week, 4 day, whatever it is, exuberance of I'm gonna change, and then change is hard. It's easier to just do what I was doing. I'm not speaking from experience here or anything, by the way. So use that as a good resource. But one of the things that I mentioned it last, or at least last week, I believe, was specific plans for your personal devotions and personal time with the Lord. And I asked my children last week if they had a plan for reading the Bible in the new year. Actually, I asked them a few weeks earlier to think about it, and I asked them again last week about did they have a plan, what was their decision. And it was a good conversation. I know that many of you, I've talked to you guys about this as well, but I thought I would just have this morning just a couple of examples of things that I found just easily that have different creative ways to have a structured, goal-oriented Bible reading time. That one of the very easiest ones is we do a Bible of the month or a Bible book of the month every month, and it's just where you start reading in that book and you finish it and you start over again. You keep going through the month. And if you miss a day, a day or two, you ought to then repent before the Lord, but then pick back up where you left off. You're not going to be, having to read three books of the Old Testament to catch up, and the three books that you're so afraid of because they don't make any sense to you and it's going to be discouraging. You pick up where you left off and you keep working. That's a very simple, easy one. Nancy sends out an email every month. I believe it's in our bulletins as well. I should have looked at that before I said that. I believe it's in the... I know she sends out an email every month. Encouraging for memory verses and this... Yeah, it's on the very right-hand side of your bulletins. Book of Matthew. It's there. That's one. If you don't know, if you've ever had any discipline in that area, it's a good place to start. Okay, but if you wanted something more, there, one I found is a 5-day reading program. It's nothing exceedingly special about it, but it gives you readings. For instance, on the first week, you have 5 days of the week, not seven, so you can maybe take a day off. And you got a what do they call it when you're on a special diet or a cheat day? A skip day, a missed day, it's working in, you might not always be able to do it every day. Okay, so it's got that built in. You have 5 days. But as you go through it, I believe we read the entire Bible in 2020. Or you can even just do the New Testament portions and not even the Old Testament. It's got it built into 5 days. It's not a bad deal. By the way, I've got a copy of each of these on the front row if you want to look at them later. And if the one you want to look at is gone, I've got another copy up here too. But it's just a 5-day program. For instance, week one, first day is Genesis 1 and 2, Psalm 19, and Mark 1. It's not going to be the exact same thing as every other plan, but it's just a nice little deal there. The one that I've liked and done over the years, I'm doing again this year, is the Robert Murray McShane Bible Calendar. It gives you Old Testament and New Testament each day, but this is a little more aggressive. It allows you to get through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in 1 year. A little more aggressive. But it's got a January 1st, and I mean, it's every day. At the, you know, it's not a leap year calendar, so you have one cheat day in there at least. But it's got it marked off there, and you can cross off what you get, and you know how far you are behind. It's one. If you've done the Bible in a year, and you're either getting tired of it or you want something new, that's a little bit of a change, and you get through the New Testament twice. That's a good thing. Another one is just a one-year Bible reading plan. There's no skipping about. This one is just, who's this put out by? Doesn't matter. Heartlight.org. I have no idea who they are, but I like their calendar here. And it's just the first day of the year, Genesis 1 to 3. Second year, Genesis 4 to 7. By the end of the year, you're reading the end of Revelation 19 to 22. You can just keep your bookmark in your Bible, not skipping around 4 different places. Very linear. You can do that. And you can check it off. You can cross off where you're at. Not lose your place. This is one that I think that I probably used several times over the years. Or something very similar. It's got check marks by it, but it's the Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan. It's got Psalms and Proverbs in one category, Old Testament one category, and then New Testament a couple of New Testament categories. Just got check marks next to each of the boxes. You got the first day, you got your Matthew check mark, Acts check mark, your Psalms, and your Genesis. Check them out. Each one. So if you miss one part of the reading, you can go back to it. Similar to what else is there, but it's laid out in a different way. This seems to have, though, only 25 days in January that's lit on the calendar. 25 days in February, so there are built-in days for mistakes. Again, and maybe this is, I don't know the creators there, but you don't want to be discouraged, but you also want to be held to account. Finally, there's another one here, the Chronological Bible Reading Plan. This is, again, nothing, someone's best guess as to in what order the scriptures were written. Just written out each day. So we want to try reading through chronologically. It'll give you direction. It'll give you structure. If you don't have structure, it's going to be hard to keep going. And whatever that structure is, whether it's, again, reading the book of the month or reading through one of these plans, or just the very simple 52-week reading plan, it's broken up into weeks, and days, really. But it's got all broken up on one easy sheet of check marks. Several different plans, several different ways, and you can customize them. You can do many, many things. I want to say there's no wrong way, but I'm sure there is a wrong way. But there's no one single right way to do this. My desire and your desire ought to be to be more faithful in 2020 in your Bible reading than you were in 2019. To be more joyful, to delight in them more, to be more dedicated, to have a better time in the Word than you did in the previous years. Whatever that looks like. And just because this is so important in my life as a younger person, if you don't do a good job of reading, if you're not a good reader, there's nothing more spiritual about reading the words on the page than listening to the words being read. There's nothing inherently more spiritual about it. You can meditate and listen and focus on the Word. Listen to an audio Bible. Great. Or better yet, maybe try to listen to it while you're following along in your Bible. But I would encourage you to not fall prey to the idea of multitasking, where I can have my audio Bible on triple speed while I'm, you know, playing a video game and eating dinner. That's really not going to be effective for any kind of, you know, more than checking off the box Bible reading for the year. Hey, if you can listen to triple speed, great. If you really can focus, that might be okay, but that is tough. So again, use this handout as a way to self-examine. Maybe, you know, parents, if you can either make copies or be able to share the actual main page with everybody who wants one in your family, that'd be fine too. Or I can make more copies if you want them. Or you can go downstairs and make more copies, I guess. That's fine too. And then have a plan. Try to come up with some goal of reading the Scriptures. I want to finally read through the Bible this year, in 1 year. Or for the first time, read through the Bible. Whether it's in a year or not, I want to get through it. I want to have a dedicated time of prayer, whether I just start with, you know, 5 minutes a day. Of not at lunch, not at dinner, not at breakfast, not at bedtime, of just time when I'm going to pray to the Lord. I'll even set a timer so I don't stop early. And it may be hard. It's probably going to be hard. You're probably going to have a long time I'd rather be doing something else because everything else is easier, because you've done everything else for a long time. So you need to train yourself to do better. So use the tools. Set an achievable goal and then strive to improve. Strive to be more faithful in your devotional spiritual life continually. So use this tool. You use the tools of the Bible reading plans. And at the end, at the back of your handout, it says, contact Pastor Johnson if you'd like to review your results together. If you have something you'd want to go through, you want some help on, whatever it might be, please, my office is open. I will make myself available as best I can to talk about things that are concerning, that you want help with. I delight in seeing that and progress in that area and helping people to grow in Christ. So there is that available. Well, I'll close this in prayer and then we can have some time of fellowship. And if you want, like I said, you can look at the handouts on the front of the front row here. So would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, for this time we can be together. Lord, I ask that you would bless your people. Help us to be carefully introspective and that we might honor you in these evaluations, that we might, again, strive not to look better for our peers, not to look better for people around us, but to be more faithful to you. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.